As we have just sung, we thank you, Lord, that you speak to us through the leaders of old, through the prophets and others. And we pray that you will speak to us here this morning in the power and leading of your Holy Spirit, to the glory of your great name. Amen. Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I?" Do you ever feel a little bit like Moses when you're confronted with a task where you really don't want to accept it? It's a bit challenging. You don't think you're the right person for it and all of the rest. Like, why don't you go and visit a neighbour just down the road there? They're very lonely. She's on her own. Why don't you just go? You may not know her, but have a go. Well, how about joining the church vestry? We really need a few more vestry members. How about you? Or we'd love you to lead the prayers at our 10 o'clock services once a month. Would you do that? And so these sort of challenges could come to us, whether it's church or otherwise. I think Moses was in a position a little bit like that, but more so. Much more challenging than perhaps any of those examples. Just going back to remind you of how Moses got to this point in his life. God's Israelite people, of course, had been living in slavery in Egypt for quite a long time, and they were becoming quite worn down to the door. In fact, it sort of summarised that little bit. They've lived their lives with bitter and harsh labour in brick and mortar, with all kinds of work in the fields, and all their harsh labour, the Egyptians used them ruthlessly. So onto this scene comes Moses, one who'd been born, of course, and rested in the rushes in care for the first, 3 months or so of his life. But now he's come to adulthood, and he's come to a day when he's just become so frustrated with the situation his people were in there in Israel, in Egypt. Angry so much he was that he thought, "I'm going to kill this Egyptian. He's beating one of my people. He's mistreating them." And he killed him. As a result of that, though, of course, he felt quite guilty. You can understand, and perhaps in his fear of what might be a consequence of that, he took off. He took off to the land of Midian, which is where we find him today. Find him shepherding a flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. But the question that is in his mind for a long time, how can we do something about this situation for my people? What may God want to do for these suffering people in Egypt? Well, we find, as we do occasionally in history, God doing a strange thing, an unexpected thing. Just to quote those words again, "The angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in flames of fire from within a bush. And Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up." And so on, the conversation between Moses and God at that point in that holy place. So you can imagine Moses was quite confused by what was going on, what he was hearing God say, what the burning bush was all about, probably feeling quite uncomfortable and unnerved, which is again how we might sometimes feel when we feel God is prompting us to do something that's out of the ordinary might come our way, something unexpected. Maybe just as we're going about the everyday things in our lives. But he can come to us like that to challenge us or to encourage us or whatever, for whatever other reason there might be. It's unlikely to be a burning bush, of course, but there's no set formula for how God will choose to come to any of us. But by whatever means, he might often need to get our attention. And we come up with the answer, "But why me?" Well, we're not finished yet. God hasn't finished with us yet. We're a work in progress, as we sometimes say. We never can retire in God's service, whatever age we are. Moses, remember, was just 2 years older than me when he faced this challenge. And he probably had longer hair and a beard and looked much holier than I do, perhaps. Nevertheless, he was there facing this challenge. But how might God try to get your attention or mine? It might be through something I read somewhere, or something I see or hear on the media, or through some circumstance of living my life that seems quite random, out of the blue. Somehow something happens. It might be a word that somebody shares with me. Or it might be just quiet, that quiet inner conviction or nudging that I believe comes from on high. But however it may come to us, we somehow know, in some occasions anyway, that we just can't ignore it. It won't go away. So the next question, of course, is, what am I going to do about this? This challenge, this nudging, whatever it might be. I can try and put it out of my head and pretend it didn't happen. I can try to explain it away in another way. Or I can tell myself, I'm going mad. Or I can take it seriously and prayerfully and begin to think about, so what next? How am I going to respond to this nudging? I remember, just to quote to you, a couple of key times in my life when I believe I received a nudge that I'm sure was from God. First one was way back when I was entering my high school life. And although I thought, yes, university is probably ahead for me and Christchurch was the place to come, I didn't necessarily know that teaching was going to be what it was. But I had a nudging that probably would be the way to go. Anyway, I talked to various people and it just seemed to be the right way. But nevertheless, I still felt, why me? Or can I cope with this? I was a very shy teenager, believe it or not, in those days, and I didn't think I would have much courage to stand in front of a class of teenage boys. Anyway, we did. With help and encouragement, guidance and training, I managed to get there, thanks to the Lord. The second nudging of some significance was at an evening service in Nelson, at Tuhumanui St. Stephen's Church there. I was a parishioner at the time, and I felt another nudge one evening when the archdeacon, the vicar of the day, was preaching. And I felt there was a nudging there that I'd love to do this, but is God calling me to ministry in the church, in the Anglican church? Well, I took it seriously enough, and one or two other promptings came to me that seemed to say, yes, pursue this one, Graham. And so I spoke to appropriate people and went through a process of being assessed and so forth, and eventually went into training in Auckland. But I just thank the Lord that his call, his nudges in these and other ways have led to a life of ministry that's been a real blessing. But back to Moses. Moses said to God, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? No mean task. An understandable kind of response, I'm sure. And what a responsibility it would be to take on the Egyptians, the Pharaoh of the day, and all of that. I guess God is unlikely to challenge any of us with anything quite like that, as huge as that. And there'll be times when we're asked to do something, perhaps at a human level, ordinary everyday life, or something we believe in the service of God, times when we again will say, but who am I? Is this really for me? My responsibility for this? I don't know, I can manage it. I feel pretty inadequate, whether it's my training, my background, skills or experiences that I've had. Don't have much confidence, no courage. Yet we just feel maybe somebody else should be the one that God asks to do it. And of course occasionally we even feel, well, I'm not a good enough Christian to do this thing anyway. As I read recently, the Bible is not about how inadequate we are, but about how adequate God is. Not about how inadequate we are, but about how adequate God is. So God's response to Moses, his protest, goes for you and for me as well, isn't it? Remember the words, and God said to Moses, I will be with you. Why me? Who am I? But I will be with you, said God in response, which of course can make all the difference. Moses' rescue mission, a massive task ahead of him, but it wasn't going to depend just on his own skills and experience or his strategies and all of the rest, because he knew, he was reminded that it was God who would be with him, God who would work through him to bring about God's purposes. It's again been said, God does not call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. I like that rather. God doesn't call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. And so God tells Moses to tell the Israelites, it is I am who has sent me. In other words, don't be looking at me and thinking what a weak so-and-so you are, Moses, to take on this task. No, I know that. I'm not good enough. But we are together to look to our holy and our great and mighty God. You remember how some of that happened with the plagues that the Egyptians had to face, God prompting the Pharaoh of the day to let them go. But Pharaoh stood still and Moses kept trying and trying. But eventually they got away, and the opening of the dry path through the sea, remember how the Israelites escaped and into the wilderness and their journey onward to the promised land. Moses being the human agent of God's purpose and God's will there. This is a wonderful story from the Old Testament, I find. But it's also, of course, a wonderful picture. An amazing picture, and if you like, a foretaste of God's great and eternal plan beyond just the life of Moses and the Israelites at that point. God's plan to send not just Moses, but to send Jesus. To send Jesus to rescue mankind, you and me, through his death and resurrection. And through the ultimate victory that all meant over Satan and over sin and evil. So we can be part of God's rescue plan, I trust you are. But this challenge to Moses, how does it touch our lives today? Here at St. Paul's. We might think in terms of our parish life, its future, its life. What is God asking of us all at this time in its history? Whether it's in terms of our ministry, building faith amongst us, whether it's in outreach, reaching out to bring others into the love of God, or whether it's to do our property developments that are pretty major for us at the moment, or other issues as well perhaps. There may be times, and pretty often perhaps, when some of these challenges seem too great for us. We just can't manage it. We're too small, we're too old, we're too this or too that. But let's not forget that if what we are nudged to do, plans to make, are of God, and that's where prayer, I think, is so crucial to undergird all our thinking and planning. If they are of God, then he will promise us too, surely, I will be with you. And so we must not be afraid, we must not back off, but rather turn to faith and trust yet again. So that might be for our parish, for us as a body of people, but what about personally too? A challenge that might come your way or mine to do one of these little things, or relatively little things, in our lives, for our community, for our neighbour, for our family. Go next door, as I say, and knock on the door and say, I just wonder how you are. Joining the church vestry? Well, I don't know what they do at vestry meetings. You know, we can have all sorts of questions and queries about things. But if we are prompted, what are we going to do about it? Our natural response, as I'm suggesting, as with Moses, was, but who am I? I'm not capable, I'm not good enough, I'm not trained, I'm too old, I'm whatever. Well, the simple answer is clear in this story, as right through Scripture in so many ways. It surely has to be, God will be with us. We are, you are, I am, the son or daughter of the living God, who promises in any and every situation to go with us, to be with us. I will be with you. So it comes back, doesn't it, to a matter of trust in him, to see what he can and what he will do through us. He does and can still work miracles. He worked it through Moses in a massive way. But he can do it in a simple but very real way through you and through me, and the trust we have in our Lord Jesus. The old hymn, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. What might God be asking of you in the next little while? He doesn't call the qualified, but he does qualify the called. I'd like to close with words of the hymn we'll sing at the end, which can be our own commitment to God's call. O Jesus, I have promised to serve you to the end. Be now and ever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if you are by my side, nor wander from the pathway if you will be my guide. Thank you, Lord, for your promise as we commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen.